All right, here we go.
This is the one.
What should I do and how should I do it? I got a problem and I gotta get through it. Who should I talk to? Who should I see? What book should I check out of the library? Yeah, but I don't read, so I watch some TV. I see what Hulu has to offer me. I got Netflix and Amazon Prime. I got more options and I got time. I just need a little distraction to keep my mind off my lack of action. I just need a little TV so I can forget completely. Forget completely.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
And I'm Rich.
And we want to thank you all. We want to thank you out there for listening to our little show and getting involved and being a part of our social media. Follow us on all social media at Life's a Binge. You can call our voicemail line at 619-438-0532. And hit us up on Patreon, patreon.com/Life's a Binge. And I think that's all that stuff, right?
Yeah, man. Reach out. There's a lot of cool stuff happening.
Yeah.
Instagram going crazy.
Yes.
A lot of fun.
Blowing up.
There is a lot of fun stuff on Instagram.
It's so fun. I can't even stand it. So as someone who's been able to, like, find themselves in posting on Instagram lately.
Recently discovering your interest for it.
I'm glad that we could make that happen for
it's
you.
It's great.
It is
so
fun.
Like every little stupid thing that you see in the internet, you know, all of a sudden this is like, life's a binge? People are like, what?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
Let's find out.
But I love this video.
Right.
I love the freaking hummingbird.
So hummingbird in slow motion.
I love the dog jumping over the girl. I love that one. Oh my God. That's so cool. The dolphins playing.
Oh, it's good times.
So, and I shot a bunch more today, so
classic.
I dig it. I have to edit them all, but
of course, but I dig it. I dig it,
right on.
And you can dig it too if you follow us on Instagram at Life's a Binge.
One of those little phone gimbals.
You
have you seen those?
Yeah. No, what's that now?
I mean, it's a gimbal for your phone, so it stabilizes it,
and it looks.
So I saw some people walking around Comic-Con like with it, kind of holding it, doing their little vlog. I used to be one of those people
that would walk around filming myself
everything
all the time.
Well,
I did it for a whole year. I literally made a video every day for a year.
That's right.
Every day.
That's right.
For a year.
But you did it mostly at home. No, I guess you did. You I was going to say a lot of it was at home, but you moved.
Yeah. If I had a day off, it was all on the go. If it was, if I worked,
so you did like leave it on all the time.
What?
Like,
no.
You'd just be filming.
Oh, no,
constantly.
No.
Yeah, so
I edited it. But every time I'd go somewhere, I'd be like, here I am in the grocery store. I'm about to buy some pineapples.
Yeah, and people are looking at me like, that are recording just constantly. Yeah. Yeah.
People would look at me like I was crazy because I would talk to my phone, and I'm like, I don't give a shit. And he can look at me like I'm crazy all I want. I am crazy. I'm posting videos on YouTube. Clearly. What do you want?
Yeah. Sharing this moment with everybody at this moment.
Yeah.
So
obviously,
those videos are still all there, though. By the way, My Day in 5 Minutes. Check it out.
Right on.
It's pretty cool.
On YouTube.
Yeah.
On YouTube. Yeah. Right on.
Take it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool if it just like somehow just took off
all of a sudden? Like, oh shit, like, I got to do that.
I just became obsessed with you.
Yeah, maybe some particular country, you know, like, you know.
That would be nuts.
It just takes the right combination of people, man.
Yeah, you never know.
You
never know.
Yeah. But big shout out to our patrons over there at Patreon. We got David, Mike, and Jess, and Kathy is our new patron, and our honorary bingers. You guys are awesome. And check out our Patreon. There's some cool things going on over there, and you can get some extra stuff. But for now, let's go ahead and start the episode. So breathe in with us. Life's a binge. I hate this machine. I hate it all.
Love them. Love the machine.
I love you, machine.
I've been doing this for this is anyway. Let's hold on.
What's up?
What's up?
What's
up? So, man, that was smooth.
That was
bam. Hit the button and bam. It just happened.
Well, I have stuff to say. So this is our 3 year new episode anniversary episode.
3 years.
Wow. Episode 156 of new episodes. And there's been midweeks in there, and there's been reruns in there. And so the podcast, age-wise, is over 3 years. But three years of new, brand new content.
That's awesome.
That is sweet.
And so 156 episodes, that's at least 156 hours, but it's definitely more than that. And there's probably like 300 to 400 hours worth of content that we put out.
Probably.
Isn't that insane?
Yes. It's crazy. Yes. Yes.
Like, it's a lot of your time.
It is. It's a lot of time.
It's a lot of time.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, anyway. Oh, man. Oh, man. So what's up, guys?
Man, busy, 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 fun, fun, fun. Comic-Con. Do Comic-Con. Pop. Comic-Con. Comic-Con. Oh, Comic-Con.
You're upset. You do that every time. Comic-Con.
Wait, what
Comic-Con.
Is it? Comic-Con. You have to say it four times because it's 4 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, we were just talking about live videos, and I've been doing...
Oh, yeah.
Every time I'm at the zoo, do a little live video. That's kind of a fun little thing to do. So zoo's going really good. BJ and the Biz is going pretty good. We've been playing... regularly. We just played on Saturday
and then we're
playing again this week on we just played last Friday and then we're playing again on Saturday
at the Blarney Stone
in Claremont.
That is excellent.
My lovely fiance just came home.
Hi
baby.
She got it.
So
like a boss.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm not a gentleman.
Just well, you're recording a podcast.
None of us.
You got it. Over with the door. You got those 8 bags of groceries and those 4 things to sell. Great.
What were we saying?
You were saying how great life is.
Life is good.
You were saying about the zoo and doing
And the Blarney and the Blarney stuff. Yeah. So come out on Friday or Saturday. This Saturday, the 20th.
Yeah.
Come out on Saturday.
Kick ass.
No, that was this week. Wait a minute.
Stop trying to live in the future. The 28th. Yeah.
Saturday the 28th.
There you go.
Where are
we in time? When will then be now?
Just go to the Blarney Stone. Yeah. Whenever you hear this.
Just look on Facebook and BJ and the Biz and there's a flyer or a date listed. You know.
Citizens of the future. Listen to this and go to the Blarney Stone
just
right now.
Go there.
To save the universe.
Send right a message to the future. That's your message. Go to the Blarney Stone.
There's a comedian in San Diego, like maybe who maybe you both have seen maybe, but he was either in a wheelchair or he had
I know you're talking about,
but and he has a joke about visiting, going back to the future and visiting his future self, and instead of saying, you know, don't get in that car with so-and-so that ended up leaving him crippled or handicapped, he said, whatever you do, don't pay money to see Predator versus Alien. It's not worth it. It was so funny. It's like,
I mean, he's not wrong.
Yeah, it was so funny. Like,
I paid money to see that movie, too.
Good times. What's up with you, Rich?
Yeah, Rich.
Oh, man. Shoots and shoots. Apparently, I don't know how true this is, because a friend of mine works over at the Globe. Hi, Katie. Thank you very much for always getting me gigs, if you're listening to this. And I just did a maternity shoot for... like the head of their like arts engagement program for his wife, and they gave birth the next day.
Wow.
So I'm like, wow, you're cutting it real close, guys. Real close. And then that's 2 days awesome. Later, another maternity shoot for somebody else that works like in that same department. So like, you're like the guy now. Like you're the guy, because which I feel kind of bad, because there's like another guy. There's an older guy who's been there for a while.
Oh.
And he might not be the guy anymore.
Oh. Sorry.
Hey, man.
But I got to get mine. So
that's right. Hey, do what you got
to
do.
And you can't like tamp your genius down, you know, to just because you feel bad about someone else.
Wow, BJ.
You know what I'm saying?
That's going to be the best compliment I've ever tamp my genius down.
No, man. Yeah, you can't you can't like.
I'm not going to hold back for some.
Exactly. Yeah, right. You can't like, I feel bad, you know, so I'm going to cut myself short a little bit. So
all I can do is
just so we can all get along.
Do what I do and be nice.
It's
and
not
if I like
personal.
It, then awesome.
It's business.
There it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yep. Especially in the arts, man. You know.
Yeah.
I guess in lots of things. Yeah, in lots of things it's like that.
Yeah.
You don't cut it anymore. You got to go. I can't. Yeah. I'm getting.
You're done in this town, son.
You'll never shoot again.
I'm getting kicked off of first, like easily.
It's always the old timey is the go to. Yeah. You want to like neg somebody like that?
Exactly.
You're finished here, I say. Finished.
You've hit the skids. Off to skid row with you.
Good times. I can run for president now.
Yeah, man. Yes. Did you think of that before?
Nope. But that was the fucking greatest picture, dude. I was laughing so hard. I was like, good one, BJ.
Yeah. It was pretty presidential.
So
right
funny.
On. Right on.
Oh, good times.
But just go back and like delete, I don't know, everything from the internet
I've ever done.
No, maybe that was like the one. Maybe that'll be the one gift that our current president gives us, is that like... people can still do good things and have done.
But not like, not have, everyone have can, done. Though.
Yeah, yeah, but not like that, though. Not like this motherfucker. Yeah.
Not everyone can. It's happening right now.
Yes, it's crazy. But yeah, so I had my birthday, which was really, really good times. And then we went to dinner at Okawa in Santee. It's like a Benihana hibachi style.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Place.
We go to that place.
Mm. It's good. It is good. So I did that with my whole family. That was fun. And then today for my birthday, I got to run over a fucking box spring on the freeway.
Happy birthday, dude.
That's fun / terrifying. Yeah,
it was terrifying.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the car in front of me just swerved out of the way. And then I was like, oh, there's a fucking mattress in the freeway.
I guess we're going
and
over.
And I looked both ways and I was like, and there's people all around me. So I don't have the option to swerve. So thunk, thunk.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Over that, I went.
You're okay. The car's okay.
There's a little bit of damage on the underside of the bumper of the car, but yeah, everything seems fine. But just, we'll find out in the future.
Just my bones and organs.
You know, when the airbag went off, it hit me in the nose. Like, I thought it was...
It's like a mild tangent, but... So I there it is.
Tangent train.
Thank you for that. So I get to chat with Lindsay, like, at weird times of the day, because she's, like, 10 hours ahead right now.
Right.
And she was telling me about the highways in Kenya, in Nairobi. And they have, you know, they have lines, and they have, like, lights and, like, rules and stuff, but...
Right.
It's all really more of a guideline
than
like actual law.
Hard
so she's talking about getting from the airport to the hotel and like just how absolutely, like she wasn't driving, so she's just like white knuckling it the whole time because it's absolutely terrifying.
That was the same thing when we were on a honeymoon in the Dominican Republic. Everyone, it's just like people are, everyone's on their little scooters.
Yeah.
And there's like five people on a scooter. Like five, like literally like five people, and they're just, and then like people are zipping by and. It's like,
it's crazy.
But they don't know. We never got hit or like
you never
anything.
Saw an
but
accident?
It was like, I was sitting in this bus and I looked out the window and I couldn't see a gap between the bus that I was in and the car that was next to me. But they were just, and I was
so
like,
nervous.
Man, good job, drivers.
It does make me nervous.
Yeah, I was like, give me another shot.
Like all the problems we have in America, at least we have like roads unlocked. Like we have our rules of the road. Like we got that unlocked.
For the most part.
Like
for
the most part, we're all pretty good about that.
Can we just maybe negate some of the speed limit sometimes? I'm just saying.
Like when I'm on the
65,
do a
lot
of bonds.
That's what I'm saying. Sometimes if you're like driving to Sacramento or something, it's a 13-hour drive, and you're out in the middle of the Central Valley, and there's no one around. It's 2 in the morning. I should be able to drive 160 miles an hour.
Well, I used to want to go quite that fast, but when I was in college and I'd be driving back here from the Bay Area,
oh, yeah,
I would always see my parents' house at like 5 a.m.
Yeah,
and I get on the 5 like just past Pleasanton, and there's nobody in the road.
Yep.
Nobody.
So here we go.
How fast can the car go?
Right. Exactly.
In my like little 96 Olympic edition Buick.
Like, wow, 110.
I'm doing 120.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, all right, I'm going to slow down now.
Exactly. Yeah. But like, you should be able to drive 100.
I get scared once you get like up there a little bit, you know, because if it starts shaking,
like, she's going to fly apart, Captain. Yeah, yeah. Can't go any faster.
The modern cars are
the beginning of $6 million man, like that crash. Big pile of smoke. So
good times.
So is that all what's up?
I think so.
That's what's up.
That's what's up. What's up?
Moving right along.
This just in.
News, news, news.
We do got some news. Well, most of the news that I have is I'm just excited about trailers that we're going to talk about.
Oh, okay, cool.
Because it's Comic-Con.
Awesome.
There's trailers all galore. Yeah.
Right,
but
on.
I guess the big Hollywood news would be the...
Well, before we get to the big big news.
Fine.
Yeah.
Do you want to do the small news?
That's a little bit smaller news.
You got small news?
Well, yeah. So we constantly are kind of covering MoviePass and it's how it's doing and such.
Yes.
So on NPR, they had a interview with the CEO of MoviePass.
Okay.
And it was really cool to listen to. And they're losing money. And he says,
which is not cool for them.
He says, but he's like, that's, shocker. We plan to lose money, and we plan to lose money for even a little while longer.
Sure.
He's like, same as Amazon and Netflix. And I was like, that's exactly what I said. Amazon and Netflix. And so anyway, they plan to lose money. They're losing money, and I mean, clearly not for a long time, but they're looking for a long time.
I'm pretty sure Amazon and Netflix are way in the black at this point.
By now,
I would not say that Netflix is. I wouldn't bet that.
I would bet a lot of money.
Spending money.
I'm
like
pretty
crazy,
sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure so. that he was saying like they're still running, you know, in a deficit, but they're setting themselves up for just like Amazon for a big giant payday. Yeah. You know, one day, just a big.
He was just gesturing with his hands out in the grand fashion. You're probably right.
Gargantuan payday. MoviePass, I'm not as confident as I am right. about Netflix.
Right.
But, MoviePass is doomed.
Like, you think so?
It's totally doomed.
Well, anyway, I'm taking advantage of it.
Especially because, go see it.
Like, AMC is releasing its own like proprietary thing.
Mikey P got that.
It's not like strictly better, but it does have that. Like, you can watch the same movie multiple times, and you can watch an any format.
Any format.
Which, right, ooh, that right IMAX there.
And 3D and all that.
Yeah. That right there makes it super worth it.
For me. And we were talking about it before, and I was like, I got the email that said you can bring friends and stuff, but like, apparently, you don't get to bring friends for free. I don't know. It was like you can bring a friend and then you can buy a discounted ticket through MoviePass. Okay. But you still have to buy it.
Yeah.
And then it will be free if they sign up for MoviePass after using it with you.
Weird.
It's stupid.
Okay.
So anyway, but yeah, it's so funny. I hear myself say things like as I'm editing or whatever, and I'm like, I should go back and correct myself because I sound like an arrogant asshole and I'm wrong. But then I'm like, nah, I don't care.
It's out there.
If someone cares, they can point it out.
Yeah, if somebody like spends the hours of, like trying to piece it all together, Jared.
That's
Bias.
A good segue into the big news.
Well, like another one was like Dumbo, where I was like, I read that it was a sequel, and now
wait, what?
The Tim Burton Dumbo.
Yeah,
I read originally that it was picking up after he flies,
right? Yeah.
Which is kind of true. The more research I've done on it, it's like. That happens very early on in the movie, and then it sort of goes on. But they are like, oh, look at this. Like, they are. So the very beginning of the movie is, like, them discovering Dumbo. So it's not technically a sequel. It's just a different story.
Right.
Huh. It's not building up to that moment. It's him after that moment.
Right.
So it's not really a sequel.
Interesting.
But, yeah, I listened to that, and I was like, that's not right, Jared. What are you talking about?
You are so wrong right now.
But you said it with conviction.
Correction corner with Life's a Binge.
Right.
Yeah, anyway.
That could be,
the
like,
following statements have to be Jess's section.
Yeah, Jess's. Right. Yeah. She can do our fact checker.
Right.
She goes, all right.
These are the 10 things that Jared said wrong last
year. Jared's a moron, and let's point it out.
And guess what? Jared was wrong again.
Jared was wrong again.
So another little piece of the news that maybe you guys heard about is that Amazon Prime is doing a Lord of the Rings TV show.
Yes.
And did I hear they're spending $1 trillion?
That can't possibly be right. $1 trillion?
BJ, is that the answer?
Starting a country.
put down that brownie, BJ, and let's start.
So what happens here is a link that I can click on and go to the picture. I mean, to the whatever the story is. Uh-huh. But like, I didn't want to do that right now. So anyway,
let's double it and make a movie.
I'm telling you, not just a movie, but like a 10 year run on series.
Oh, that gosh.
There's no way it costs $1 trillion.
I don't know.
What's the biggest blockbuster movie budget?
I don't know.
Like $256 million.
I was gonna say like $500 million.
Yeah.
Like at most.
What was Infinity War's budget?
What's the budget for Amazon's Lord of the Rings series?
Tell us series.
She's not gonna know. Let me check the internet.
Amazon's
really?
Of course you will.
Really? All right. Well, anyway. She's like, I
love it.
You know what? Siri's like the assistant that you ask her questions, but she's in the other room, and you think that she's looking for it, but she doesn't want to get off the couch. And so she's like, I don't know. The Lord of the Rings TV show
will be the most expensive series in history. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the upcoming Amazon series is expected to have a $1 billion budget.
Okay, then there it is. Billion.
That's a lot of money.
It's not a trillion.
It's 1,000 times less than a trillion.
It's not a trillion.
I wonder how many episodes they're going for. Like, if you're going to spend that much money, it better be good.
I didn't hear billion, so yeah,
like it better be good.
A trillion, I mean,
because I haven't read a ton about it, so I want to know like where, because they're not doing like doing the War like of
a,
the Ring. They're
is
not
it like
doing
a brand new
Frodo
thing?
And Sam and everybody. No, they're going to go. They're probably going to pull from the Silmarillion. This is where I show how big of a nerd I am.
That's a good nerd show. That's a good pull.
This is where I pull how big, which is like Tolkien's history book for like.
Well,
universe.
I was going to say it has to be like
and
pre
there are stories
everything.
In there. Like, it's got to be tons like, of stories in there, so they could say like.
It could literally be the prologue of the first movie, where it's like, here's a man getting their rings, and here's the dwarfs with their rings, and like, just show everyone with their rings, and Saruman taking over.
They could even start after like the events of the movies, and there's still plenty of material to go and do a whole show on. So
yeah.
I'm stoked. Like, I
hope
those are some of my favorite books.
I hope it's good.
Those are definitely my favorite movies. Like, unequivocally, nice. Those are my favorite movies.
Cool. I dig it.
So that was a good note to keep, huh? Even though I thought it was a trillion.
A trillion dollars. God, if it was a trillion, I was.
We already corrected you, so we don't have to go back.
No correction.
Thanks, Jess. I got it.
Yes.
A billion.
One more real small thing with What's Up. I listened to The President Is Missing.
Big one.
No.
We will.
I listened to The President Is Missing, the Bill Clinton helmed book. With help of James Patterson, so it's like a political thriller.
Oh, really?
Book.
Yeah,
interesting.
And it was really good. And then the very, very end is like this whole. I was like, I wonder when you changed the end of this book, there, Bill.
You felt like the it was totally end.
Oh yeah, dude. It's all about clearly we need to not. Fix the election, or we need to make sure the elections run clean and keep Russia out of this and do this that. And I was like, wow. Way to change the end of this book, because like the president's giving a big speech at the end of the book, and I'm like, oh, you. It sounds like you just plugged that shit in right there. Huh. So anyway, I was like, this is a good book until you got to that, and it wasn't bad. Like, I agreed with everything that he was saying, but it was very like,
this is clearly not planned to be a part of it.
Right. You know what? That's funny. You know what that reminds me of, and maybe you can you'll relate.
Tangent train.
In Glow season 2,
yeah,
near I think near the end of the series where she's fighting. It is at the end of the series, the end where they're having the big battle royale for the bouquet, and she says, "I hope that we can have U.S. and Mexico can have good relations in the future."
Right.
That was a pandering to current times.
This is topical. So
yeah. Anyway,
it was just so funny.
That's
it was
so
like,
bad if it's like a little. Throw away some
moment. No, yeah, not like but changing like,
it was,
the whole
well, I don't know if it was changed, but it just seemed like it was like, oh, now we can plug this in.
Right, yeah.
And I was like, oh, gotcha. Yeah, it wasn't really out of place with the whole context of the book, but it was very much like...
It made your radar go off.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so...
But I mean, I agree. I was like, that was a good speech if the president would have given that speech today. But it was in this book, and I was like,
I don't see why he would.
Right. Anyway.
I should have said...
Back to the news and the big news of the week. Mr. Gunn got let go.
Got the axe.
Now, how do we feel about this situation?
I'm not on board.
I was like, yeah, get rid of him. And then you dig a little deeper and you're like, wait a second.
That had the same thing. Like, every person, I'm like, oh my God, he said what? And then like, oh wait, it was 10 years ago.
And it was... promo and for a movie and like sure it's still not okay to like you know
those aren't
right
like make light of so the pedophilia question becomes and stuff
like,
but
right. what can we and can we not joke about and like comedians have been being very off color
right
since the dawn
since
of
forever
comedy.
Correct right. but even
comedians for a long time it was like rape was a line that you didn't
cross. Sure, sure.
Yeah.
So, but then it goes. It's so crazy. It's like such a hot topic
then they
right
crossed
now.
That line.
Well, and then it's the same thing where it's like Roseanne got like fired and quit and let go because of her. Granted, it was a modern day thing.
That was current,
and it was current and everything. But it's at the same time. It's like she just told a joke, whether it's in good taste or not, still a joke. And then she got her whole career was shot down. And so it's like the same thing's happening now. But everyone's like, well, he said that 10 years ago. It's like, well. Who cares when he said it?
Right.
It's still not cool. And whether it's promo for a movie or not,
she'll be fine, Roseanne.
Well, sure.
And he probably will
be fine too. So the question that I have is then, what's the statute of limitations for saying something stupid on the internet? Because I don't know. Probably everyone listening to this right now,
well, and that's
at one point or another, has said something stupid on the internet.
We say stuff stupid all the time, or like where we go back and watch something else, and it's like, oh, that didn't really hold up well. Yeah. I really liked Home Improvement when I was a kid, but if I go back
now
and watch,
it
now,
right.
I'm like, wow, this show's pretty stupid and misogynistic sometimes, and he treats his wife like she's an idiot, and even though she's the fucking breadwinner, and like the Tool Time girls are just jumping around just to be cute girls jumping around, and so it's like. I really liked that show when I was a kid, but like, is it okay to go back and still enjoy some elements of that show? Like,
should we hold the past work, like whether it's creative or speeches or words, to current standards?
Well, yeah, I mean, because personally, because if it's still not art, that's going to like you know titillate you in the way that you are used to or want, you know, and if you can look at it now with adult eyes and look at it and go, whoa, you know, meh, then it's not, it just doesn't last.
Sure.
So it doesn't have the staying power. So it was fine at its time.
But. So you told a joke 10 years ago and and now someone pulls it up and they're like, BJ, look what you said 10 years ago. Yeah. Like, I don't know about that. I'm sorry that I did that 10 years ago.
He had deleted those.
Right.
Because he said, yeah, this doesn't really jive with me now.
That's not cool. I mean, especially if he takes it off,
Fox went digging to go find him and like try and discredit him and like all because he was like slamming the president so there's all these like weird things around it.
It may be one of those things where they didn't want like he was probably in line for a fat contract perhaps. I'm just being conspiracy theorist.
Sure.
But he could have been in line for a fat contract and so they like pulled this out like
distance now.
Yeah, like give them anything.
We don't want
to
have to pay you. So, look what we found. Bye.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the other thing though: is that if it's your job, like a job can fire most people for whatever reason they want.
Right.
I mean,
it's true.
No, that's
it. Just seems, you know,
like I can say out loud, my boss is an asshole, but there are consequences.
There's consequences. You say that, right?
Free speech is not freedom from consequence. Like, yeah, that's not how that works.
Yes, that's important.
Right. That's important.
You can say anything.
You go ahead. Yeah.
be prepared for what people will say back to you or do to you or right. whatever.
You just lost military support because you just said that like, you believe Putin over your own military leaders. So.
Hey.
Or he wouldn't.
I'm
confused.
Let me say that again.
Watching
what
the train
I meant to
of
say.
Events.
Yeah. Oh, by the way,
depends on what your definition of the word "wouldn't" is.
Yeah.
It's would not.
Yeah. You know what? I would love to go back and look at all that too, because I was definitely on a different side of all that politically at that time, and it could have been, you know, because I remember him with all the "what depends on what is," and I was like, "What?"
Oh, yeah. The Bill Clinton stuff.
Yeah, the Bill Clinton stuff, and look at that, and just see, because I know. Because I can look at it removed, and, you know, there were like...
You can look at it logically and not emotionally anymore.
Yeah, and at the time, it's you know, in the midst of an election, it's hard to look at anything not emotionally, so...
Sure.
Good times.
Yeah, good times.
So back to the gun news. It's so weird to me, because originally I was like, what? And then you click on there's the headline, he's fired from Guardians 3 based on offensive tweets. And like that headline is like, oh, I wonder what he said.
What did he say?
And then you click on it and it's like, you know, these deleted tweets from 10 years ago were rediscovered from him. And I'm like, wait, these deleted tweets from 10 years ago were rediscovered and now he's fired for it.
Yeah.
I'm like, that seems a bit. And like, dude, the tweets are rough. Like they are. Yes. They are bad.
The ones that I read were.
Blue is not the word.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't want to repeat what they were.
They are bad. But. Right. But it's like they were gone. They were. I mean, it's like when you delete a picture from your computer or whatever. You're like, oh, no one's gonna see this dick pic. And then like, you know what I mean? Like,
everyone's gonna see it.
It's not gone.
But you know, like he did it himself. He deleted the tweets. Yeah. He's like, this isn't good. Like it served its purpose at the time to get, you know, the shock and awe value and the publicity for the movies that he was making, which were these gore porn movies of sorts, like very gory, like hardcore movies.
I've never seen them.
Right. Me neither. But I know they exist. And so it served its purpose. And then he's like, let's get rid of that. And how he lost his job over it.
The time has passed.
I don't know. It's kind
of
bizarre.
Part of his like, guys, so I'm just going to let it go of it.
Kind of bizarre.
I don't. That's the thing, is it's complicated.
Yeah, right. And you know,
and
he's working for Disney. You know, you gotta know.
Yeah.
You know that. I don't think it's as quite the same as it used to be, but it used to be a super duper like strict.
When Disney came to town when they were doing Lion King, when Lion King came to town, when I worked for Broadway San Diego, they had rules for us people sitting at the ticket window, like how you could and could not dress, or like have your hair a certain way,
really,
or with like piercings. Yeah, they were. So when I hear things like Disney says no, I'm like, well, yeah, because they have their image, and they have to maintain it.
It's very true. Yeah. It's just
that's why I was like, that was a lot.
But
of
if you go into every single person that's ever worked for Disney, guess what?
You're gonna find.
Hey, Lindsay Lohan. You can't get rid of that. Like you can try and like sweep it under the rug all you want, but guess what?
Yeah.
Like you have a tainted past. You have
Mickey and Minnie are freaks. Okay, they just don't want, you know, they just have to keep it under you know, keep their public image up. So
what?
So that's what I'm saying. Like everybody who works for Disney,
because I mean, they've been together anything, for what, 60 oh, yeah. years. Yeah. You know, they're getting down.
Right? Yeah. If there's anything like shady, they can pull it and fire you for it. Yeah. And there's no one as clean as Disney's image.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yes. No, it's true.
Including that's, Mickey and Minnie.
Right.
There we go.
That right there. That's there perfect.
Yeah, that's true.
There's no one as clean as I like
that. Any other news?
God, it seemed news, like there was,
news,
damn it.
No news? But, no? But, okay.
That's what's up. What's up.
Moving right along into the next phone segment. Life's a binge! Phone Army!
Yes, hello. I was trying to reach Life's a Binge, I believe it's called. This is Alan Alda, and I would love to come on your show. Your MASH has been off the air for a couple of years now, and I've got some free time. I'd love to sit on the couch with you guys and just, you know, talk baseball or, you know, MASH or anything. You know, I can make some martinis. I mean, that doesn't even matter. You know, I don't care. Anyway, I'd love to be there. Let me just, clear with my agent and everything, but I'm sure it'll be fine. So give me a call back at 1-888-555-MASH. That's right. I bought the number.
So that's right, that's our first voicemail. Alan Alda giving us a call saying he wants to be a guest, talk some MASH, and moving into the second voicemail.
Oh, hi, Jared. This is Alan Alda. I just wanted to wish you a happy birthday. So happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jared. Happy birthday to you. Now, I don't sing very well. I stopped doing Broadway years and years ago. But I know how hard you guys are working on Life's Binge, and I just wanted to whip up a couple of martinis for you. Oh, Radar. Could you get BJ a vodka martini, a little dirty? And Jared needs a double martini. He's been out walking around delivering God knows what. What does he see out there? I have no idea. I mean, you must see everything, Jared. I mean, you're a mailman, for God's sake. That's incredible. I mean, you see packages and boxes and people's lawns and dogs and probably see, you know, what I used to see out in the tents and over in MASH, you know what I mean? If you understand me correctly. Anyway, happy birthday, Jared. And I'll be, hanging out by the phone, ready to jump on the couch for you guys if you need to for Life's Binge. All right, happy birthday. Bye-bye now.
Okay,
right on.
So we got those. We got those nice. Two going on. Thanks, Alan, for giving us a call.
I hope he does that for his kid.
And yeah, I'm sure. And then we have one more voicemail, and I get to play a thing that I haven't played in a while.
Yeah, play
Tony in La Mesa. La Mesa.
I decided to shine at
Jared.
It's 3 years. I'm trying to look forward to. It's an Amish technique.
What's this name?
Slapping someone with silence. I was shunned from age 4 until my 6th birthday for not saving the excess oil from a can of tuna. Jim, could you please...
Now, you guys know you've been shunned, Jared. But for right now, unshunned. Happy birthday. Seriously, I hope you enjoy your special day. I hope everything goes great and you get all your birthday wishes and everything comes true. Okay, now, Sean. Wait. Unshunned. That's you're only 33 and 5? You're a baby. You're barely out of diapers. Now I know why all your takes are shit. It's Jesus. Your age. You're just coming out of puberty. Sean. Unshunned. Okay, I'm not Matt Warburton. Maddie with the cleverly edited and perfectly delivered. Where do I know? Because I'm Matt, and I'm cool. You know what? He's such a likable guy. It's hard to gin up any real rivalry or any animosity towards a guy, but doesn't mean I'm going to stop trying. Sean. Wait, unshunned. Freaking racist. Sean.
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate it, buddy. So yeah, I think the clip there at the beginning was the clip from The Office when he's doing shun and unshun.
Yep. Oh, okay. I couldn't quite hear that. It was weird. It was a little weird.
And then
I
got shunned and unshunned. A whole shunned and bunch.
From and The Office. You know what's sweet about that? Is that your show?
Yes.
That's your show?
That is my show. Yeah, I love that show.
So that's cool. I was trying, because I was thinking, where is that from? Yeah. Shun, unshun, unshun.
Yeah. It was The Office.
The Office.
Oh, show.
Definitely rewatch that like once a year, probably.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Easy.
It's been a little while, but I've watched it.
It's great.
It is good.
Well,
it
Tony was saying that he went back and started to rewatch it, and he just can't. He's like, I hate Michael. He's not fun.
He's unforgiving.
I hate him. Huh. And I'm like, no way, dude. Like, he's fucking great.
Even in like the worst, like my favorite slash terrible, awful episodes as Scott Stotts, obviously, which is like the most unforgivable thing that Michael does.
It is.
You know
rough.
This, BJ?
I think so. That rings a bell.
He promises a bunch of like,
oh, yes,
their third graders.
Right. Yes.
He what promises them that they'll pay for their college.
Do, make their dreams come.
True. Yeah. So,
and of course, he can't.
Right.
So he has to go to this high school in front of a classroom full of like, you know, graduating successful kids.
They're going to college.
And tell them that they're not. And it's the only one that I have that I'm like have a hard time actually looking at while it's happening. I'm like, oh, this is not good.
Yeah. But like, and then, but see, the thing that makes that show so good. Sorry, this is
it's all good.
What makes it so good is that he does something horrific, and then either by the end of that episode or very early on in the next episode, he's like so miserable and down and out and like just so sad that you're like, oh man,
like,
oh
he
man
knows.
Like yeah he knows. And like you just
why
feel
am I so
for
dumb?
It anyway
he's
yeah.
not
yeah.
totally unaware.
But those were our voicemails, so thanks for calling Alan Alda, aka Master Matt Thompson, and Tony La Mesa. Thanks guys. You can be featured in the voicemail segment too if you give us a call, 619-438-0532. But for now, let's check out what Maddie Warburton has to say. Tony, this one's for you.
And now, another installment of What Do I Know with Matt Warburton.
Hello, everyone. I'm Matt, and this is What Do I Know? Years after Civil War, Scott Lang sits in house arrest in punishment for his alliance with Captain America until he receives a telepathic message from Janet Van Dyne, Hank Pym's wife, in the Quantum Realm. So Scott teams up with Hank and Hope to bring her back, all while trying to evade the FBI and a new menacing foe called Ghost. So, Ant-Man and the Wasp. This did not seem like a likely sequel. Honestly, I was half expecting it to be made. I was kind of half assuming that they were going to start Ant-Man off in his own movie and then just have him appear in other heroes' movies, just kind of like they did with the Hulk. Ant-Man seemed like an unlikely superhero to make it to the silver screen in the first place, and then being played by an unlikely actor to play a superhero, Paul Rudd, who at the time was mainly known for his work in Anchorman or the Judd Apatow films, but they rolled the dice and gave Ant-Man a shot. I mean, even the name Ant-Man is so underwhelming, it's hilarious. And what they came out with was something really fun. I've always really enjoyed this movie, and it's always been up there as one of my Marvel favorites. And even with the tag at the end of the first movie with Hope getting the Wasp suit, there just seemed to be so much time since the first movie, I thought that the buzz for a sequel had died. But I am so glad that I was so wrong. It's interesting that this unassuming sequel comes right after the biggest and most emotional drop from Marvel yet. And frankly, it's just what we needed. Infinity War was so all-encompassing and emotionally draining. It was great to have a fun Marvel movie again, full of laughs as well as dope battles. I really like how they didn't forget about anyone from the first movie, and they just kept moving the story along. Scott's family still plays a part, and even though they weren't central like they were in the first movie, they still play a really good part. Especially Scott's daughter, Cassie, played by the adorable Abby Ryder-Fortson, who played a huge part in motivating Scott. One of my favorite scenes, no major spoilers here, but when Scott, Hank, and Hope get captured at one point, there's a decent dramatic build that gets broken immediately by a FaceTime call by Cassie, who is looking for her soccer shoes. The scene turns on a dime from superhero drama to regular family issues. It's so funny. Paul Rudd is at his absolute ruddiness with his quips. Michael Pena is killing it again as Luis. They amped up his character even more. Evangeline Lilly is amazing as the Wasp and holds her own. It's almost like for the first movie, they took the Ant-Man property and said, I don't know if you like this, but we'll have a bit of fun and see what you think. Oh, you like that? Well then, here, we'll put even more effort into everything here. And for me, Ant-Man and the Wasp is at the top, soaring beyond the first movie. I've got nothing but love for Ant-Man and the Wasp. So hey, shrink yourself down and drive your micro machine to your nearest theater and watch it for yourself, because hey, what do I know? Next time, I'm keeping it going with the long-awaited superhero sequels because I'm watching The Incredibles 2. Until next time, I'm Matt, and this is What Do I Know?
All right. Thank you, Matty.
Shout out to Ant-Man, too.
Matty Warburton.
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yes, Ant-Man and the Wasp.
At his readiness.
So he has a way of putting stuff. It's so good.
I can't argue with
that. Yeah, it's good times. So thanks, Matty, for doing another review. And check out the movies that he's going to see and let us know what you guys think of the films.
Did he say what he, as well. He didn't say what he was going to see next?
Yeah.
This is why you were supposed to pay attention during the segment.
Instead of like looking through these videos. You know why? But it also, when I listen to it on Monday, it's always like it's brand new.
But yeah, so he's seeing The Incredibles 2, so check it out. But with that, let's go ahead and take a break. After these messages,
we'll be right back. Well, here's my new place. I finally got everything I need to entertain. Great new TV, the best audio, and DC Comics. No, really, they've sure changed over the years. They're not for kids anymore. There's sophisticated horror like Sandman, action stories like Watchmen, incredible graphic novels. Oh, yeah, check this one out. No, not my girlfriend. Say hi, Tina. This graphic novel, look at the art in Black Orchid. The new generation of DC Comics. See what you've been missing.
Your favorite DC Comics are available every week at Fantasy Books and Games.
Back to the show. Hey. How'd you like the commercial?
Huh? So, huh? That was
sounded
cool.
Fresh. Fresh and new.
Sound like cutting edge.
So it's sometimes I have trouble thinking of what to put there. But this one I was like, I don't know, I'll just type in like I wanted to find like a vintage Comic-Con promotion, and I couldn't find anything like that. So then I found this stupid DC one, and it's like a first person view of like the old what are those cameras called? Like a video 8 camera,
right? Cameras?
With and like it has like the little frame on it, like 4x3 aspect, and it's like this first person view of this guy walking around his apartment, and he's like, I got all the latest equipment, check out my TV, and it's like this cheesy ass like 16 inch tube TV, it's like, and I got these great comics, they're not just for kids. Anyway, it was stupid, but I was like, oh man, I gotta play this for the commercial.
It sounded now I gotta watch it.
So check it out, just type in vintage comic commercial on YouTube and you'll find it. Oh no.
You're losing power.
All right, there we go.
I fixed it.
Fix it quick.
So anyway, that comic lead-in was talking about Comic-Con.
My favorite thing
about the Comic-Con.
In the world. Comic-Con. I love Comic-Con.
Yeah. Do you get the pass and go every year?
Not every year, no.
Yeah.
Safe to say every other year.
I want to go, but it's impossible for me to get tickets.
Have you ever
I was like, I'm trying. I'm going. I'm going to do it. And I registered, and I got the thing, and I was like, here we go. And I was like, gone. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like,
it's hard.
It shouldn't be as hard as it is to get into. I've been before it was Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Like, back when it was, like, comic books and, like, hey, maybe they'll talk about, like, a TV show. Maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
But it was mostly, like, collectibles and comics was what I was going for.
The first time I went was, like, 2003, I think. And even then, even, like, from that to what it was 3 years after that is completely different.
Yeah. And so I haven't been when it's, like, been crazy and nutty. I've been down there a bunch. I just haven't been inside.
It's pretty awesome.
You can't fucking get tickets. It shouldn't be as hard as it is to get in.
Yeah. And the system they have in place is better than what they had before.
Well, and it's like, it's you went last year. Guess what? You get first crack at going this year. I'm like, well, of course they're all going to buy tickets again. Like, what the fuck? Yeah.
But even they don't always get them either.
Right. But it's still, it's like, it's catering to them first. And it's like, well, how about you let somebody new fucking show up once in a while?
Well, you know what? We should be able to get tickets, like professional tickets for Life's a Bitch.
Probably get professional tickets. Yeah.
So we'll work on that. We'll talk to we'll talk to people.
But it always happens on my birthday. I'm like, wouldn't it be great for my birthday to actually go to Comic-Con for once?
Hey, dude, next year we're going.
I'm gonna name drop, but I do know somebody in membership.
2019, we're getting professional passes.
Yeah, sweet.
Do it.
Yeah, and we're going in there.
All four days. Five days, really.
Yep. I went all 4 days in 2016.
And I'll put in for it.
It's too much.
It's too much.
Yeah. It is too much. I just want to go
on like a Saturday, like Friday, Saturday.
And walk the main floor.
Two days is perfect.
All the best.
This is perfect.
all the best, and I want to do Friday, Saturday when all the goods is happening. Like, yeah. If you want to do any of that.
So you remember by Sunday, just like, I was physically ill. Right. Like, in the crowd, I'm like, I was like, I could feel it on me, like, just the feel of the crowd. Like, I'm just done with all these people. Like, I gotta get out of
funk.
Here.
Yeah.
I gotta get out of here.
But, like, I love the cosplay. I love all the stuff there. I love meeting artists. I love getting autographs. I love collect. I am a collectibles junkie. Like, I'd walk in and be like, oh, my God, I need all these Funko Pops right now.
Yes.
And, like, it would be a problem. But I just want to go and experience it, but I can't even get in the fucking door.
Yeah. You have a better shot of getting into Conan O'Brien, honestly.
Right.
Than you do into Comic-Con.
It's true. And it shouldn't be that way.
Which I saw last year, which is so much fun. Oh, yeah. If you've never done that.
We're going to go the professional route, and then our Comic-Con wants are going to be
Conan
over.
Conan is the best.
Yeah.
And you can get those cool little Funkos. Like, I still have my White Walker one that's from last fantastic. Year.
Can we use our pro passes to go to the
No.
No.
You will have to, you know what? We'll have to call on Casey Gardner to use his Conan connections to, like,
connections.
Does he have Conan connections?
No. Do you remember that Conan was here at Comic-Con and did a whole big thing on his national thing?
Oh, yeah.
And he called Casey up. Yeah. And then they did a whole thing. So awesome. He doesn't really have a thing, but he has that time that was really awesome.
Right.
It was really, really awesome.
That one time. Yeah.
That one time it was on national television. Yeah. Because he looks like Conan O'Brien.
Yeah.
So.
It was cool.
It was great.
So anyway, like, the other than the disappointment of not going down there and getting to go inside and everything myself, BJ, you got to go down there and, like, do some chit chats with people and stuff that we'll put out in, like, future little bonus episodes and stuff.
Yep. Yeah. It was a lot of fun to do that, to walk around and just get a taste of the madness.
You just pick just random people that you pass by?
No. So, I think stopping folks, like, it gets a little intimidating. It's funny. Like, so I'm giving a 5-year-old Reznor, 4-year-old Reznor, you know, like, he got shy.
Forgetting shy.
Like, yeah, I get it. You know?
Yeah.
So what we did was,
did you have a camera?
Like a
video camera or like a camera or something?
No. Mainly I had like a microphone. And so it was mainly audio looking, but I used the video.
I was just going to say, it was much easier for me to get people to talk to I had a cameraman. Because I was like, hey, because I had my microphone and I had a camera guy and like I looked.
Especially if they're cosplaying, like they're like, oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I was like, we'll be on YouTube, check us out.
And if Petner and I had kind of set it up a little bit better and like had done that, like, that would have been cool.
Even if you have,
but
like,
part of me, okay. One of the things was when I went down there, it was hot, and I didn't have any rags with me, and I was sweating, and so I was like, let's not do video right now. It's just at least on me. Like, I videoed other people, but like I wasn't like in live today. Here I am because it was like
you should have done it anyway.
Sometimes
you're a sweaty beast, man.
I know, man, and it doesn't look good. I guess. Vain.
Oh my God. I'm going down there to get all this great video content for our YouTube channel. Did you get any video? No, I was sweaty that day.
We got a bunch of good stuff. Trust me, I'm saving everybody from a big sweaty Christmas.
But anyway, so we're gonna post some of those interviews and stuff coming up.
There's a lot of fun stuff.
In fact,
you're gonna get a kick out of a lot of it.
Yeah, of course.
A big kick out of a lot of it. So,
So other than the interviews aside, like, did you have fun? Like, I have fun just going downtown and walking around. And,
yeah,
like,
it was really
seeing
cool.
Seeing the cosplayers.
Yeah.
And
it was
seeing
really,
all the
really cool.
Because there's a lot of free stuff to do outside.
Or just, like, find a bar and get a drink and just watch people walk by.
Yeah, it's
like,
great.
That's totally worth it.
There was, like, just walked up and down the street, and there were places that were set up with long lines. Like, there was a Tomb Raider experience that was set up for some kind of gaming system.
Yeah.
That there was a line for. There was a big long line. There was people who were kind of lined up waiting for folks coming in and out of the Hard Rock, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But there were big displays set up all over the place, just all over of all kinds of things. And I did not take as much advantage of as much of it as I could. But
right.
But I saw a bunch of it, and then I went down, and then I met Mike, and then we kind of like. Fell into this little area where it wasn't like a high traffic. People were kind of sitting down
and
to
you
rest.
Could, like, get people in.
It was easy. And that was like the people like, hey, while you're sitting here, do you mind if we talk to you a little bit? And the first group of people we like asked were like, no. Part of me was like, fuck all you guys.
Well,
like,
no, my vibe, shit. Dude.
Well, not only that, but like it is like getting the first person is hard. Even like with the camera and stuff. When I did it, I was like, as soon as I got one person, because like people would just be like, no, I don't want. I'm not really dead. One, but once you get one, like, yeah, people are like, what's going on over there?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Like, I want to be on camera.
Right, exactly.
I want to be talked to.
Yeah, and so like, we could set that up anytime, oh, yeah, anywhere, for any big event.
Oh, yeah.
And talk to people about stuff.
Absolutely.
And so that's something we should do. But we got a handful of people. And then, yeah, once we were talking to people there, clearly it was easier for other folks to kind of like, yeah, what's going on? You know, like, hey, you want to talk?
Yeah.
Here we go. So it was fun. It was really cool.
And so you said you didn't go this year?
I didn't go in, but I did went down. I went down,
yeah,
there
went down.
2 days.
Did you do any of the big installations?
So? I tried to do the big Jack Ryan experience.
Right. Is that the Saturday one with the zip line?
Yeah. It's, they had like two zip lines, yeah, like a little helicopter thing. It looked really cool, but
and that
they
was
had
promoting,
a problem.
That's on Hulu or
yeah, no,
Amazon?
It's on,
Amazon. Yeah. The John Krasinski,
yeah,
Jack Ryan. Yeah.
I heard it cost $1 trillion to do that.
It's going on for the next 10 years, yeah.
What's up?
But they, so what they were doing was, you're going in like in groups of four, right? But they had told the staff there that like they had VIPs and like Amazon employees that,
oh,
like,
yeah,
brought first dibs. It's like, you know, the regular ass people, like, you know,
just
me and
waiting,
Joe Schmo,
and waiting and waiting.
We're waiting for, like, I talked to guys like, oh, I've been waiting here for like 6 hours. I'm like,
no,
it's Saturday on con, dude. Like, you're missing
everything,
all the other things just to do this. Like,
yeah, no. Nope.
I hope it's really amazing.
Next,
you know? So
well,
I
guess
bailed on that.
If you don't,
yeah,
have tickets, though,
yeah,
you know, it's probably
so
worth it, or more
do,
worth it. I guess you should say, like, but if you have tickets, you're like, no, man, I'm going inside.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna wait in line for 5 hours, no, for anything.
Even just getting
unless
in
it's
the
Hall
lobby,
H,
you're like, oh, right,
yeah,
yeah,
it's such a difference. Yeah,
yeah.
Man, when I checked out the Nintendo game room, and that was totally, like, it wasn't even, it was a line, but it wasn't a long wait, because people were just kind of being shuttled through pretty quickly.
And were they showing, like, the stuff coming up, like Pokemon and all
they
that?
Smash Brothers.
They had,
like,
they
whole,
had,
yes, like,
playable, you could demo the game?
Yeah, you can play it.
No,
like,
fucking way.
I saw a lot of pictures of, like, game setups,
yeah,
of people,
oh my God,
people playing
wait
that,
for Smash
video games.
Brothers
like,
on Switch.
I played
can't,
it for, like, maybe half an hour.
I can't
was,
wait.
Yeah.
That's
man,
cool.
Man, it's going to be
that's
so,
another, like, angle.
Is it bomb? Like,
so cool. Like, I already want to Switch and I'm playing it, I'm like, oh, man, now I really want one of these things.
Well, and Pokemon, like, I'm not a huge Pokemon guy, but I played Pokemon back in the day, and Pokemon Go I was really into when it first came out,
yeah,
and
yeah,
now it's gonna connect to, like, the whole Pokemon game is gonna connect it all, and, like, you can take your Switch and, like, do Pokemon in real life, and
oh,
it's
God,
gonna be nutty.
That's crazy.
That's really cool.
Samantha's like, I'm gonna take your Switch, and I was like, I know. I know. I'm gonna be like, I gotta play Smash Brothers. She's like, but I have to go catch a Charizard. I'm like, fuck, okay,
get a second one.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, that's the thing, that's what they want you to do, and then you can play, yeah, and it's crazy, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that's bitching.
They had a preview of, I'm guessing, the next Spider-Man movie. I'm thinking, like, they had, like, a little scene from it playing in a big screen.
Was
like
it
in the
cartoon
Petco
in the Spider-Verse?
No, it was like Peter Parker, and there was like little drones and stuff, and
what?
It was like a scene from the newest, I'm guessing it's the newest Spider-Man movie.
Whoa.
But it was it was playing. I got a little bit of video of it.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can see some of it on the video that I have.
Right. Interesting.
But
and it was like Tom Holland live Marvel MCU Spider-Man.
Yes, the latest one who was in the Avengers. Yes.
Tom Holland.
Yes, that's
MCU.
The name. That's
Spider-Man.
The one. Yes.
Weird, because I'm excited for the Spider-Verse movie, the, like, Miles
with
Morales and all that stuff.
1
like,
million famous voices.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Nicolas Cage is going to be
But it's going to be great. Like, it looks, I love the animation style.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's, it looks like it's going to be amazing. And the Spider-Man video game's coming out, and I'm freaking excited about that,
for
too.
For all formats, or?
PS4.
PS4, yeah.
Yeah. And it looks so good.
Yeah, it looks
cool.
Really good.
Yeah.
Good. Good. It's funny. I've just recently picked up my Batman game because I finished it.
Ooh, which one?
Is it Arkham City, maybe?
Arkham City,
it's on PS4.
The newest Arkham game.
Yeah. And so, like, I've won the main storyline, but, like, the Riddler, I still haven't found all his trophies and battled him finally at the end. And it's been literally sitting on the shelf for a year.
Yeah.
And finally I pulled it out and I found a couple more Riddler trophies and made a little progress. So that's something I'm gonna do a little bit of my
time. It's always
time.
So much
love
fun.
It is fun. It's love damn it. Fun. And Sean and his cousin, Dave and his cousin Sean, Sean stayed here on Thursday night,
nice,
but he had a hotel the rest of the night. So Dave was here for four nights.
And Dave is Dave Walker.
Dave Walker,
you
of course.
You have an interview coming at the end of this episode. You have an interview because he's always down for Comic-Con.
Yes, it's a ritual, yeah, right, of Dave Walker. coming to Comic-Con and then hearing about what stuff. So you're going to, I think you'll get a kick out of all that too.
Yeah, and that's awesome. Coming up later in the episode, BJ's interview with Dave. Yep. So we didn't, we have another one. Every year we do an interview with Dave, so we got one this year too.
Of course, yeah. Of course. He's our Comic-Con. He's the king of Comic-Con.
I mean, he is. Like, he's a freaking comic book writer.
Where does he come down from, though?
He comes from Portland.
So he's
down for changing his zip code if the money's right. so hopefully, and then he's working. I mean, you'll hear about it later, but he's working on some stuff that hopefully it'll pay off.
It has
paid off. I mean, we live the charm. We all live the charm.
Hopefully
we all live
a charm. That trillion.
$1 trillion deal. He's working on it. That's like the old Saturday Night Live skit. The dude's got 2 Super Bowl tickets. How much do you want for him? I want $1 million. Like, dude, come on. I'm going to give you $3,800 for him. Come on. Nope. $1 million. he ends up not going.
No, that's bitching. And so, doing the downtown experiencing, what's going on outside and all that stuff is all well and good. I can't wait till we get inside. But the main thing that I look forward to every year for Comic-Con, because I don't have the luxury of going every year, is the news and the trailers and everything that comes out at Comic-Con. And I'm like, oh my God. And the first trailer that I want to talk about has been out before Comic-Con. But have you seen the trailer for Welcome to Marwen?
Mm-mm.
The Steve Carell new movie where, oh my goodness, I can't even describe it. It's going to win an Oscar. Steve Carell is going to win Best Actor. Like, it's going to happen.
Interesting.
And I believe it's Robert Zemeckis that directed it. And
and it's with
the miniatures and he creates this whole town. Anyway, the trailer looks amazing. I know it's been out before Comic-Con or whatever, but I did want to mention that because every time I see the trailer, I'm like, holy shit, this movie is going to be ridiculously good.
And what's it called again?
Welcome to Marwen.
Interesting.
I remember seeing that trailer and thinking, what is
this? No, it looks real good.
Welcome to Marwen. All right.
Yeah. So, anyway, I don't even want to try and describe it. Just look it up. Pause the podcast. You're on your phone. Go to YouTube. Type in Welcome to Marwen, and then you're back. So thanks for coming back after watching the trailer. One of the things that came out was the Shazam trailer.
Yes.
Did you see the Shazam trailer?
No, I haven't seen any of them.
And I'm super excited for that movie.
You didn't watch the trailer?
I didn't see them. I saw them in the link there, but I haven't watched them yet.
Dude. No.
Super excited for that.
It looks like it's going to be good.
Well, because there's the problem, the DC problem is that we're so serious.
Right.
Like, everything needs to be dark like Batman. And these are characters that they have fun.
Right.
They are fun. And
Shazam.
When I heard they were going to do Shazam, I'm like, if we get a dark and gritty Shazam, I'm going to be so sad.
Nope.
But he's it's exactly what you'd expect from, if you don't know the story of Shazam, formerly called Captain Marvel. He's a little kid and he meets this wizard and the wizard gives him. He says, you say my name, you'll be endowed with
super abilities. Yeah. You'll get
But he's still a child.
It's kind of Green Lantern. We have chosen you to have the power.
Yeah.
Right.
And he's like, well, okay. But he's a kid.
And
I'm just a kid.
Right.
And they've totally nailed it. He totally looks like a child. In an adult's body, and it's I can't wait.
No, it's gonna be
cool. I'm looking forward to watching
it. Actually, looks really good.
Yeah,
and I'm hoping it's good. I'm gonna watch it anyway.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
You know, that's funny. So, I was watching speaking of DC properties, and we were talking about you were
Justice League, and I tried to give it again.
Yeah, so I watched Justice League, and you know what's really funny is at the beginning of Justice League, during the credits. There's a hobo on the street, and he's begging for change, and then he has a sign up.
I tried,
and I think that is some kind of subtle message from the director saying I did my best with this movie. I tried, I know you hate it, but
that's crazy.
Look, I tried. So I don't know if that's the case or not, but I certainly especially after we talked about it, and then I was like, hey, you know what? This is on HBO. I'm gonna put it on in the background and watch it a little bit.
There's still people
it's garbage
clamoring for the Zack Snyder cut. I'm like, it's not gonna make it. better.
Like, it might make it a little
marginally
bit better.
I want to
watch it again. I'm going to watch it again, and then just,
you're going to be disappointed. I guarantee it.
I'm sure. But I don't want to. Yeah.
I don't know why they're still going for it. I don't get it. You like, how many times?
Up?
Yes. I think they should just give up. Honestly,
with Shazam and with Aquaman,
well, Wonder Woman was
they'll
big.
Reset yeah. and think, you know what? Let's take our time and let's do.
Okay, so Shazam looks great.
Aquaman's coming up.
Did you see the Aquaman trailer?
Yeah. I did not.
I don't know.
I think it'll be good.
I don't know.
I think it'll be good.
I don't know.
I really do.
The very beginning when he's like the kid in the aquarium or whatever,
yeah.
and like the sharks bashing on the glass.
Yeah.
I'm like, that looks garbage. That looks like
the
garbage.
Sharks did not look
like,
good.
It's yeah, like, come on. You guys have so much money.
I have,
and you
like,
can't make a fucking CG shark like look good.
It is the first trailer.
Golly,
so
I don't know,
it could
man.
Look better in sprint at the final.
The very first thing they show you is the terrible looking yeah. shark. Like a terrible, bad
looking
look shark.
That's did hilarious. Because that the movie The Meg is coming out, and I'm going to go see that no matter what.
Well, you're a creature feature guy.
I love those.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
you love
sure.
the giant creatures. So
big old
you're
things,
like, bring
yeah.
me the megalodon, please.
I just hate that name.
Please.
Yeah. Yes, the please.
It sounds like you're talking about like your best friend's annoying little sister in high school.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Here comes the Meg.
I have friends friends named Meg who are like, yeah, the Meg.
But it's the megalodon, though. But just call the movie Megalodon.
Why did it call it Megalodon?
Right.
You're gonna get me started, Jared.
Yeah, it's true though. Like, why didn't you just call it Megalodon?
I don't know.
I wanted to. That's what I was thinking. Was like the Meg versus Jurassic Park. Like, which one's gonna be better? Like, and now since Jurassic Park is the latest,
Meg
one
will
is,
probably be better.
It's so lousy oh, yeah. that
because
that.
Jurassic Park is hot, fiery garbage. Yeah.
So, well, in the Skyscraper.
I
want to
see that.
And I want to see it too. And a podcast I listen to.
I heard it did not do well.
It did not do well. But yeah. this podcast I listen to, they're kind of a review show. And, well, not really. They do review episodes. Uh-huh. And the review episodes they do are called Spoiled Rotten. And uh-huh. they go specifically watch bad movies.
Yeah.
And then they trash the movie, which is why it's Spoiled Rotten. They spoil right. it and it's bad movies.
I'm done with that.
And so, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's really funny when they mm-hmm. do that. And they were like, we're doing Spoiled Rotten of Skyscraper only. It's not bad. You're gonna love it. It's great.
Really?
It's so much fun.
All right.
Like and they rip on everything. But they're like, honestly, like it's what you think it's gonna be. It's like this big, tall skyscraper building,
yeah.
and it's like The Rock has to save the day. And guess what? He does. And the building blows up. It's everything you want it to be. And they're like, but in a good cheesy way.
Right
like if you go in knowing what you're getting,
that's fine.
You're gonna love it. And I'm like, yeah, I want to see that.
I'll take it.
It's like yeah. Mamma Mia 2. Like
right.
I'm not expecting you know Shawshank Redemption. Here,
right?
Like, I know what I'm going to see when I go watch
fun.
Mamma Mia, and it'll
yeah.
be a fun time.
Of course, my wife's gonna love it,
yeah.
and I'm gonna sing.
And we need movies like that.
You know,
that's
funny.
Time.
They're doing a live Mamma Mia,
yeah,
around town,
mm-hmm.
and someone approached me about like auditioning for the older rock and roll guy.
You should do it.
There you go.
And so I'm like, you know what?
You should. Yeah.
Maybe
I should
do that.
Maybe you
I like
will.
To, like break
get
my
on stage,
yeah.
man.
Yeah, it's been. I mean, other than Music Mayhem. Music Mistletoe Mayhem.
The show you don't know the name of?
That's the one.
Totally. Well, no, wait.
You got to be way more specific than that. There's a lot of shows I don't know the name of. So anyway, we'll see.
Yeah, so anyway, I just thought it was like going back to the whole like Aquaman thing. I was like,
yeah.
the first thing you're going to show me looks like this. Come on. Like,
yeah.
it
but
could,
the rest
it could
of it
looked
good. Like Atlantis looked cool.
It does. It looks okay.
Like they
I
have
don't
a
know.
Faithful Black Manta costume.
But like it's just, it's... They have. It's like they threw me in a grave already, and I'm buried up to
trying
my neck.
Out.
I'm buried up to my neck,
sure.
and they're like, instead of like digging the hole, they're like, we're just gonna stop throwing sand on you for the second. Like, we're just gonna hold off, and then after you
right.
watch it, you'll know if you're buried or not. Yeah. And it's like, why? Just
shoot me in the head.
If
please.
You're gonna put it out, like it better be fucking great,
yeah.
and don't put out the trailer of the shitty shark. If it doesn't, like, I just can't get over the shark. And did you see, like,
what were you saying earlier? You focus on one thing.
Right, but did you see the poster? Like, Rachel posted the poster.
No.
The Finding Nemo poster.
And, like, he's standing on, like, the rock or whatever, and he's got yeah. his, like, his five-pointed trident.
The poster is god-awful.
And there's, like, sharks and fish, and there's, like, killer whales in it, and the killer whale in the foreground looks like the size of a goldfish.
Yeah. And they're all, like, clearly much the same one, like, copied throughout the poster.
And I'm like, what are you doing at DC and Warner Brothers? Like, why are you putting out this garbage?
Why are you so
unless they're like, you know what? We know what we are about, and we're not that great, and we're not going to compete with this, so we're just going to go for it.
Be what we are.
Like, you know what I mean?
We're the CW.
Right. But anyway, you'll see what I'm talking. Just as soon as the trailer starts, you're like, what is this
shark? I'm looking forward to watching it.
It doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good. But the rest, I mean, it looks okay.
The movie in general, I think.
Yeah, the movie looks like it's going to be okay. For an Aquaman movie that's not Vincent Chase, directed by James Cameron.
Vinny Chase.
It's going to be.
I am Queens Boulevard.
That probably wouldn't play post Me Too.
Speaking of shows that are problematic.
Yeah, we talked about that. But however, that Aquaman scene when they like show you the little thing and he's running down the pier and like
that looked awesome.
I'm like,
that's cool. That's really cool.
Anyway, what else did we get? We got a trailer for Godzilla. Did you see the trailer for Godzilla?
What is this now? It seems like every few years we get a new Godzilla.
This one looks bomb.
Is it set in America or Tokyo?
Godzilla's Avengers.
I don't know. Like in the trailer, basically the Earth is getting. It's like, well, Earth is about to get destroyed, and the only thing that can save us is the Titans. Yeah. Like the actual, like,
so they're bringing back like
Titans,
all of the Godzilla.
And so Godzilla, like you see Mothra, you see like the three-headed dragon thing that I don't know the name of. Like
that's the Hydra, right?
Yeah, I forget his name.
But it's got wings, though.
Because there's Rodan. Rodan.
Rodan's the fire.
Right, one. and then the who flies really fast.
Yeah.
And then I thought that the...
I forget what the other one's name is.
It might be Hydra. That might be right. The three-headed dragon thing.
Yeah.
I think that might be it. But anyway, so what's her name? Millie Bobby Brown. Yeah. She's in it.
Millie Bobby Brown.
And she plays Eleven on Stranger Things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Millie Bobby Brown.
And she, like... And, like, for somebody that likes creature features or monster movies or whatever you want to call them,
you'd be on board for this.
Godzilla, dude, there's a shot in the trailer.
That's so exciting.
There's a shot, like five shots in the trailer.
But
there's
one
when he pops out of the thing and he shoots his, like, laser mouth. And, like, it's this wide shot. It's this wide shot with just him. I'm like, holy shit, this looks good.
Yeah. It looks super good.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm really excited for that.
So I saw that.
I'm still looking forward to it. I still haven't seen the new Pacific Rim movie, so I
did.
Oh, you both did.
I just watched this like 2 days ago.
It's a movie. It's not good. It's a meh.
Like, I don't aggressively hate it. I guess I would have probably heard about it if it was good.
I mean, there's parts that are good, but it's not a monster movie.
Nothing grabs
like the kaijus and the it's
nothing
not there's not really that
it's
much
stupid.
In it. Yeah, it's not good.
That's too bad.
Yeah. What else did I Glass? I saw the trailer for Glass.
What's that now?
Jeez, dude, do you not know anything? We're talking about Comic-Con
I know nothing. So tell me, is it Unbreakable? Is it a touch ship Unbreakable?
Yes.
Oh, joy.
Did you see Split?
I did see Split.
Okay, good.
Okay. Yeah.
So this
otherwise we can't really talk about it.
Right?
I'm totally ruining it for you.
So this is the third movie.
Yeah.
And it looks good too,
I'm all about Unbreakable.
Well,
all
and
about
like
it.
Shyamalan having his renaissance,
yeah, right, man, for sure.
Like he's coming back, like, and I guess stick with what worked, and like I guess, but like it looks good, like because I didn't know what the trailer was when I first clicked on it, and I was like, and it's what's her name,
Sarah Paulson,
and she's like talking to the camera or. You know, people, and it's like you think you guys are superheroes, and it's really like she's a psychiatrist or something, and like in a mental health hospital or something, and then like the camera switches, and there's Samuel L. Jackson, there's Bruce Willis, and oh man,
oh really?
And
oh,
I don't know the guy.
I'm gonna freak out right now.
James McAvoy.
Yeah, McAvoy. So it's all three of them, and she's talking to all three, and I'm
freak
like,
out
dude,
right now.
I'm
gonna freak out.
My only worry is. And not that the movie probably hinges just on David Dunn, but if Bruce Willis like phones it in, like he has been, I don't know, for the past 10 years.
Yeah, but he didn't in that movie.
But he won't. Well, him and M. Night Shyamalan are like friends. Yeah. Like they're tight. So he'll probably be like, dude, like
Let's make this. Yeah, he's gonna be badass.
Because he's great in this Unbreakable. Yeah. I think like he's great.
No, yeah.
So Sarah Paulson. Speaking of which, did you see Nikki? I don't know if you know Nikki, but she's a mermaid. She's also done lots of stuff at SeaWorld. She's one of the performers.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But she got a like a little video meme or whatever, like a little quick thing, a little boomerang.
Of her,
and then like Sarah Paulson like bobs her head into the shot.
Oh, like she photobombs her or something?
That's awesome. But that's awesome. It is great.
That's awesome.
It's great.
Save that forever.
Yeah, for sure. And so we need to link ourselves to that video.
For sure. We'll put it on Instagram. Yeah. If she allows us.
I think she does. Yeah. And she will. She will.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
So check out the Instagram at Life's a Bitch. And then the only other thing that I saw that I don't know if it came out for Comic-Con or right before or right after or whatever, but the Sons of Anarchy spinoff show, there's a gargantuan
of it on the side of the building of the biggest building there, hotel there, next to the Comic-Con. It's bigger than,
and it just says Mayans or whatever.
It says it's a picture of the back of it. It looks Sons of Anarchy type of promo where it's the back of a jacket, but the jacket says Mayans on it.
I saw a trailer and I was like, this looks good too. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I like the show. I like Sons of Anarchy, so I'm like, all right.
Sons of Anarchy was good.
Like, I liked that show.
Some of it kind of, I wasn't crazy about how the way it ended.
I liked it. I was like, yeah, the show's great.
But yeah, I'm curious to see if they can bring it back and make it look. I mean, the trailer looks good, so we'll see.
Yeah, that's exciting. That's exciting to watch.
I also heard just yesterday that there may, I don't know how true this is or if it's just like totally a rumor, but it's supposedly straight from Joss Whedon about rebooting Buffy.
Dude, they're...
How do you feel about
that? Don't even say that.
They're reboot... See, I keep hearing they're rebooting all sorts of stuff. Like, Nickelodeon is like,
if you're going to give me more of something, Joss, give me Firefly.
That's never going to happen.
I know it's not.
But like, they... Like, Nickelodeon's like, we're rebooting Rugrats. And
what?
Yep. Rebooting Rugrats
doesn't mean anything to me, but
and yeah, it's because you're old.
I'm old as fuck.
And they're doing like a live action like CG movie in the vein of like
Garfield.
I think I would guess maybe
with Bill Murray as his voice.
I would actually watch that.
But
Bill Murray's Tommy Pickles.
Didn't he do
so, like I love like I'm a Nickelodeon '90s Nickelodeon fiend. So like if they're gonna give me more, like why not?
I'll check it out
and bring back the voices and stuff. So fuck yeah.
That's cool.
I have zero connection to that. Like,
yeah.
So part of me wants to watch Rugrats just to like.
It's actually, like, you would actually enjoy it.
It actually still holds up.
Yeah, it holds up.
Right on. Good. That's cool.
I mean, the 90s Nickelodeon holds up because of the adult humor that is completely interlaced the entire time.
Yeah.
But you never watched like any 90s Nick, like Ren and Stimpy or Rocco or Hey Arnold or Rugrats or Doug.
I think Hey Arnold was the best.
Angry Beavers or Cat Dog or.
None of those. Damn. Cat Dog, now that was like half. Like one half of the was a cat and half a dog.
Was a dog.
I remember the imagery of that, but I don't remember like an episode.
Right.
I don't remember an episode. Yeah, so.
Yeah. Anyway, like, I love 90s
Which end
Nick.
Pooped?
Yeah.
They both pooped for both ends? Like,
I feel like they addressed that
there's
at one
poop.
Point. Like,
there's
a
Why
joke.
Is it going to be pooped?
It doesn't have to be in Cartoon Land.
No, I'm sure there's
in Cartoon Land, there doesn't have to be pooped.
I'm sure they reference it at some point, too. Because they do that. They throw all that stuff in there.
Yeah.
Anyway. But, dude, I did not hear anything about a Buffy reboot.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I would rather have Angel if you're going to redo anything. But maybe just don't, because they're both great.
See, that is
they're
true. Maybe just don't.
Yeah, maybe like, just don't. I don't know.
You'll never tell, like, these
It's
rich,
already good.
Yeah, these rich, like, people who are in the company who know what, you know, this is what we own. We can make this again.
Right.
We can reboot it. So that's going to be the same for every piece of property ever.
Probably about 2 years out from yet another Fantastic Four movie.
Hey, I would love to see a good one. It would be
Disney-owned.
But, like, what you're talking about, like, yeah, if you're going to do something, bring back Firefly, where you didn't get to finish your story.
Right.
You didn't get an end. Like, you finished Buffy. You finished Angel. Like, they had endings. You told your complete story. Like,
I didn't watch Buffy, but it ended,
you can't take
it,
this guy from
it
me.
Ended well. Is that what you're saying?
What's that?
It ended well.
It's like one of the most beloved series of all time.
Story.
Yeah, it's like a complete story. Yeah.
So either you do a prequel or a I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, it does spin off into Angel, which is also another excellent show.
And they're both long running.
And people love seasons each. Yeah. Passionate fan base.
Absolutely. Oh yeah,
passionate. So.
Yeah. And so it's like maybe because they're redoing Charmed on like the whatever, I'm like, okay, I never watched Charmed, but like it's like a reboot.
Yeah, it's a totally reboot.
And so it's like it's
and they're
a remake. Latin. Like, see, that's the thing. I don't know where the term remake or reboot. Because like if it's a reboot, if it's the original people, right?
Or I think it's a reboot.
It's the original characters. Then
it's a reboot if you don't like necessarily remake. Feel like you're like. Connected to a storyline that already happened in another movie.
Right.
So it's like, if it's just going to retell, or if you're going to retell a story, but maybe in a little different way.
So Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield, is that a reboot of Spider-Man or is it a remake? Right.
It's a reboot.
It's a reboot.
Yeah.
Because it's the same character, new people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a remake would be like Ghostbusters, where we're remaking Ghostbusters.
Right.
We're taking the concept and making it different.
So what's cool is that both Spider-Man and Ghostbusters, while I was there, were represented just out and not only just in promotions.
Run into a Ghostbuster.
They had a big giant Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, and so I got some really good pictures of him like in the parking lot next to where they were promoting the new Spider-Man movie on the big screen.
Nice.
And but I did an interview with a girl who was dressed as Spider-Gwen.
Oh yeah.
Nice.
Who I'm not familiar with. But she explained it all to me, that it's in an alternate universe.
And she had like the white hoodie with the pink and all that.
Yeah, pink. Yeah, she looked really good.
It's a cool costume.
It is a really cool costume.
It looked great. It looked great. And so there was a lot of great costumes there.
That's my favorite part, man. I love that.
Yeah, it is.
It's so good.
And I enjoyed myself just watching people.
My friend Amy and I believe it's her husband.
Oh, Amy and
Roger. Yeah. And like they're featured in all the like the best costumes, and they were wearing the fucking dude when they were like, what's her name? When they did the Tuna Can people,
I can't remember.
He was Charlie
Princess something, right?
Yeah,
Chicken of the Sea
princess
mermaid
thing, and then the Charlie Tuna, and they were like,
it was
so good. It was so good. I was like, man, it's so good.
Like,
and they got featured on the thing anyway.
And you have a different one for
every
day.
They go all 4 days,
like,
and they have a different costume every time. Yeah, and that's then my friends like Todd and Caitlin are like part of the cosplay corps that go around and like fix people's stuff for free, and like they got new stories like all about them and stuff.
That's dope.
Yeah, they have like they literally have sewing needle kits and stuff. They have like wireless glue guns, and like they pass out cards and like it just. Tech, like, meet me in front of like the door.
I did not know
H,
that was the thing.
And like they show up with their glue guns, and they fix people's cosplay right there
that's
on the spot
dope.
For free.
That's baller.
By the way,
that's dope.
That the cosplay core, check them out. Sergeant Swift Stitch and I forget what
Sergeant
Todd's name is.
That is impressive. Yeah. That is impressive.
No, and they're great. Yeah. And they get featured. They were just featured on like the news and stuff as well. So, any other big things from Comic-Con, or do we want to get into the interview with Dave?
That was pretty much it. There was so much stuff, but from what I saw, we did a lot of fun stuff outside the con, but interviewing Dave was a great experience.
Cool. So we'll end it with that. So check out BJ's interview with his good buddy and our good friend of the show, Dave Walker, right here.
It's so good to see you again, first of all. Like, this is clearly, we've already been hanging out now for a couple of days.
Oh, yeah. It's good to be seen.
2018, too. Which is what year what for you for the Comic-Con?
I believe it's, my first year at Comic-Con was 1998, so it was 20 years ago. I think there's only been one, maybe 2 years in the last 20 years I haven't been here. So this is either my 18th or my 19th con.
And now, what year is this now that you stayed at this house?
That's a really good question. I was trying to figure that out. How long have you been here?
I've been here for, I think, 16 years.
If you've been here for 16 years...
Maybe 15. Let's see. I moved here in 2002. Or at the end of 2001, I should say.
Okay.
And then I moved in the house in 2002. So...
It was probably around 2004, 2005 was the first time. It was just sort of like... when you crash out of somebody's place, it's like, for me, it's always a big deal. I always feel like I'm imposing.
Right.
So I think it probably took about 2 years of you being like, hey, how come you're not staying here?
Yeah. What's up? You're in town.
Yeah.
You could stay here, right?
Yeah. So
that's cool. But now I'm sure it feels like home when you're Like, I hope so.
Yeah, no, it really does. Honestly, I you probably don't believe it, but I come to Comic-Con more just to hang out with you guys, just to chill, even if it's just like over a breakfast burrito or
some Saguaro's, yeah, delicious,
or some pizza from Lefty's like
on 30th. Go check them out.
You know,
Chicago style pizza.
I really, and I get frustrated when it's like, oh yeah, I got to go down to the con now. I can't, we just can't kick it, whatever. So, it's, but of all the conventions I do, and I probably do like about 10 a year, this is, even though this is the most chaotic convention that I go to, the most people, most traffic, it's also like, it's coming to see family, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
It's this is the one where it's not all business.
Yeah, you know, you get to kind of be my surrogate in Portland. You know, you get to see my family and a lot more than I do during my sisters and my mom up there, and so definitely it is like that. So
yeah.
So last few years have been different though, in that you've been finding success, young brother. Success. You've been successful. Yes. Success is relative, I guess. But
relative or subjective or whatever. But yeah. No, I would say that sometimes it's like if it doesn't always matter what your perception of yourself is, it's what other people's perception of you is. And yeah, so I mean, I'm making a living writing comics. So in that regard, yeah, I'm a success. Interesting thing is that Comic-Con, New Year's, or San Diego Comic-Con, isn't really that much about comics anymore. It's about film, it's about television. Comic books are sort of the foundation upon which this massive empire has been built. But, you know, comic book writers and comic book creators, they don't get that much respect. It's kind of funny because it'll be like, I was working for Marvel and I was writing Luke Cage, which is a super popular Netflix show. The character's been around for 40-something years. But I'll be like, yeah, I write Luke Cage. And people are like, oh, I love that show. Right. And I'm like, nah, I don't work on the show. I write the comic. And then they go, there's a comic? And it's like, yeah, okay.
So who's the dude? We were just talking about Batman and Bob Kane and what was the other guy who did
that? Oh, it was Bill Finger.
So now, who's the dude who was the Bob Kane for the Luke Cage? Or was that a Stan Lee or one of those?
No, the I want to say the creator of Luke Cage, I believe was a guy named Archie Goodwin. I'm pretty sure that's who it was.
Uh-huh.
And he was a really famous editor and writer at Marvel throughout the 60s, 70s, into the 80s. One of the more respected professionals in the career in the industry. And I'm pretty sure he was the one who created Luke Cage. I'd have to double check, but those early adventures were written by like Archie Goodwin. George Tusco was one of the first artists. And then a guy named Billy Graham was the artist who really made a name for himself on that book. And Billy Graham was like in terms of the 70s was one of the preeminent African American comic book artists.
Interesting. With a name that is associated with either the superstar Billy Graham, the wrestler or the evangelical preacher Billy Graham, who was a big name.
Yep.
That's cool. So do you kind of like, you know, like the all the people who have played Batman throughout the years, like all the people who have written Luke Cage, is there like a little like a line? And it's kind of fun to say, you know, some names on there, like, I'm on the same line, same tree.
It's always weird. It's like that with just about any character that you write. And so when I was working over at DC, I was writing Cyborg, who now he's a member of the Justice League, but most people know him from Teen Titans, the animated series, or Teen Titans comic book from the 80s. And like he was co-created by a writer named Marv Wolfman. And I met Marv Wolfman, you know, and I'd been writing Cyborg, and I left over Creative Differences, and so they brought this dude back, and he's like a veteran, you know, like he's been around since I was a kid. And he walked up to me at a convention about a year ago, and he was like, hey, you know, I just want to introduce myself. My name is Marv Wolfman. And I was like, yeah, I know who you are.
He's like, no, but he's like, would you recognize his face?
Yeah, because I'm nerdy like right. that, you That's know? Right. And good. So, and so he was like, you know, I wanted you to know that, you know, I don't know if you knew this, but I took over Cyborg after you wrote it. And, you know, and I know you must have had plans, but, you know, editorial never really told me what those plans were. So I sort of had to make it up as I went along. And he said, I'm pretty sure I ruined whatever it was you were trying to do. And I really want to apologize for that. And I looked at him. I was like, man.
Did he?
Not really. You know, I honestly, I didn't even read what he wrote because it was just like, at that time, there was a little bit of bitterness in me.
I was going to say, it's kind of emotional. You're yeah, like, man, yeah. Fuck, I don't want to read about this. You know, yeah.
But I said to him, I was like, man, you know, first off, it's the business. Second of all, thank you. It's very magnanimous of you to come up and apologize. But I was like, but first and foremost, I never would have gotten that gig if it wasn't for you, because you created the dude, you know? So, right on. So it was cool. You know, meeting when you get to meet a creator, who's worked on a character before you've worked on him, or in some cases, like, you know, you carry on a tradition, especially when it's, if it's it's actually more of an interesting experience when it's a really obscure character that maybe hasn't appeared in a comic in like 20 or 30 years. And I sort of do that. I'll look through and go, oh, I'd really like to use this character. And, last year at Comic-Con, actually, there was an artist, a guy named Ron Wilson, and he was really big when I was a kid growing up in the 70s and into the 80s. And he worked on this, he was co-creator of a book called Wolfpack, which is this like kind of goofy book, about like a street gang in the Bronx or something. And
was it like special powers or no?
No, they didn't have any special powers. No, they were just sort of like
realistic.
Yeah, it was sort of like, but not realistic at all. Okay. You know, and one of the characters was this kid in a wheelchair, and his name was Wheels Walensky, which I was just like a kid in a wheelchair named Wheels Walensky, and I was just always kind of obsessed with that character, so I wanted to use him, and so I got, you know, we put him in this book that I was writing. And someone told Ron Wilson about this, and apparently he was really excited that someone would care enough to bring this character back, who hadn't appeared in a comic since like 1985 or something, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was here at San Diego last year, and they were honoring Ron Wilson as one of the guests of honor, and I walked up to him, and I'd met him before. I got really emotional, man. I started crying when I was talking to this dude. I'm not lying.
That's cool.
Because it's just a little backstory. Ron Wilson, also an African-American creator, one of the first professionals I ever met when I was a kid happened to be a black creator. And he was like, yo, man, you could do this. You know, and when you're a black kid growing up, a lot of times you sort of have this limited view of what is possible for you. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't no athlete or nothing like that. So he really encouraged me. So I walked up to start talking to him, and I was like, man, you don't know how much you mean to me. You know, I met you when I was like 12 and da da da. And he was like, oh, wow, this is great. You know, and he's on the humble tip.
Right.
And I said, you know, by the way, I'm writing this book, and I'm using this character, Wheels Walensky. And he was like, yo, that's you? You're the one who brought him back? And then it was like this whole reversal thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, first I was geeking out over him, and then he started geeking out over me. And it's like, honestly, you know, like I said, this is what, either my 18th or 19th con. That's going to go down as one of my best memories,
right,
you know?
On. That's
so
cool.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. So we went down there last night and checked out some stuff. And I met up with Mikey Pettner.
Mm-hmm.
And we interviewed some folks. So we'll see how the audio turns out. Some of it I'm a little leery about. But, man, the spectacle is unbelievable. And I'm just imagining, as someone who's been there for 20 years, it's more and more every year.
It's getting to be too much every year. And, you know, I'm not getting any younger. And some of it's cool, but some of it's just like, yo, like, first off, take a shower. A lot of y'all, like, they could make so much money. Like they're handing out all kinds of free crazy stuff down there. What they need to be handing out is some free deodorant.
There you go.
That's what, yeah.
There you go. Step up and get some
Axe body spray, whatever, you know.
I don't know about that, because that gets so strong.
Yeah.
Teenage boys.
Like, yeah, I know, but you get that
B.O.
Yeah, you get that funk. Yeah. I call it the con funk.
Yeah.
And it's like, but there ain't nothing funky about it. It's just plain stank.
You know, okay, so you wonder. I always feel like I can kind of tell if I'm like, oh boy, I need to shower, I need to take a, you know, but I'm sure that there's probably like a certain amount of immunity to my own, you know, smell and odors, I'm guessing.
Yeah,
probably.
but if you're walking down the street and birds are dropping out of the sky, you know what I'm saying? like it's like something like Pigpen from Peanuts, where it's just like there's a cloud of funk following you.
Green stink lines, son. Stink lines. So, yeah, but I just imagine, like, maybe that all these people are somewhat immune. So, nah. Because you always notice other people. You got to smell other people. Maybe there's, like, 100,000 nerds in the Comic-Con going, somebody needs a shower, like, who are refusing to look inward.
Yeah, that's it. Because straight up, man, I'll be like, yo, something stinks. And the first thing I do is I take a whiff of my own armpits.
Exactly.
And it's like, it ain't me.
Yeah.
And, you know...
I had a story about working once and like go in the boat in Seattle.
Yeah.
And like cleaning up different areas in the boat, like cleaning up, that stinks back here.
Yeah.
Like go somewhere else. Stinks in here too. Like over here. This whole place. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually had that happen to me once. I had, I was out with a group of friends and I was like, yo, one of these people smells like dog shit, you know? It was like, they just smelled terrible. And I was like, it was just overwhelming, you know? And then the next day, I was out with somebody else, and I was like, yo, what's up? This dude smells like dog shit. And I was like, what's wrong with you? I'm making a mental list. I ain't hanging out with this person.
We're no longer friends.
Like, yeah. And then I got in my car, and I was like, oh man, now my car smells like it. Their funk is all over me. And I was like, wait a minute.
Oh.
And then I checked the bottom of my shoe and it was like, I think I had to throw that pair of shoes away. It was like,
I'm sorry. So, you've done enough damage.
Yeah.
You've ruined three relationships.
Yeah.
In the car.
I had to get in the car and like with an old toothbrush and a stick and clean off the gas pedal and the brake pedal. Oh, it was everywhere, man.
Cleaning doo-doo out of sneakers is like, oh.
There's a science to it. But
you gotta get a brush.
Yeah, you do.
You're not going to get in between the grooves. But that's what we're talking about.
The point at Comic-Con is just some deodorant.
Yeah, get to take care of the funk.
Yeah.
So you, it's different for you than a lot of folks who come down to the Comic-Con. Because most folks who come down here are straight up just fans of the culture
or something, comics, video games, whatever.
But you're in the business, you are it's never just pleasure anymore, it's always
work. Well, there's a certain amount of pleasure, but this is work.
Uh-huh.
This is not I mean it's not work like cleaning septic tanks,
right.
Or it's not work like,
it's glorious work because you're doing something that you love to do and you're being creative and you're being your own guy,
but it's a job, you know. Yeah. And the thing is like, nobody's paying me to be down here. But I need to be down here, you know, and so I had some meetings with some of my publishers, some of my editors, but it's funny because it's like, you know, had to go to a dinner meeting and it was one of those things where it was like, I'm not used to eating dinner at 9 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock at night in a crowded bar with a bunch of loud people. I'm like, yo, dinner for me is 6:30, and by 9, if I'm out, it's like I'm at a movie or someplace like that, but. Normally 9 o'clock, I'm home.
Yeah,
and if I'm up at midnight, I'm still home.
Yeah,
you know. So, and it's interesting because you know, like with the cosplayers, you'll see them. Everyone's taking their picture, and by the end of the day, they're like, "Yeah, let's just stop taking my picture." And it's like, "No, well, then you should not have dressed up as a Transformer." And
right,
you know, but you know, for me, it's like. It's weird because people will walk up to me and they'll give me this look and they'll be like, "Hey man, you're David Walker," and I'm like, "Well yeah, because it says it on my name tag,
right?"
And they're like, and then I see it. They reach into their backpack and it's like one of two things: they're gonna pull out a gun and shoot me,
right?
Or they got something they want me to sign, you know? And it's, but it's weird because it's like, you were walking around with comics that I wrote in your backpack.
That's dope, man. Yeah,
it's dope, but then I'm also like, but you got a Sharpie? You know? And they're like, and inevitably, they never have a Sharpie. And I'm like, lucky for you, I've learned, don't leave the house without a Sharpie. You
there
know
you
what
go.
I'm saying?
Right it's on. Like, that's good.
But yeah, no, it is kind of weird. It's tough reconciling that, you know, I'm not one of those people who's much into, you know, fame or celebrity or anything like that. And so I'll talk to somebody. I was talking to some cat 2 days ago at the con. I can't even remember his name. But, like, people were just sort of... He was introduced to me by a friend. We're standing around talking. And all these people are, like, looking at us. And I was like, well, who are you looking at? Are you looking at me or him?
Right.
And then they kept... People kept interrupting our conversation to take selfies with this dude.
Okay.
And I was like... Always him. I was like, well, he must be somebody. And it turns out he's on, like, a TV show. Like, I think he's on Arrow, I guess. And I was just
as
like,
Arrow?
No. He plays Mr. Terrific.
Okay. There was a girl in the line in front of the Hard Rock who was like, you know, like paparazzi.
Yeah.
Like, there was someone from Arrow. She was the most excited to see. So.
And I'm like, and my whole thing is like, what's the big deal? You know. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's kind of and I don't hate it. It's just it's odd to me. You know. Uh-huh. Once in a while I'll see, but see, like I geek out over people. That ain't nobody else geeking out over.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like some animator or cartoonist or something like that. And,
yeah.
And someone whose work I really appreciate. But, you know, I, as a rule, if I don't have something, I'll say, hey, I really like your work. And then I'll leave it at that. I don't ask for autographs, anything like that.
Right.
And maybe if there's something, you know, like I have really intelligent to say, or maybe we have mutual friends,
right?
Because there's always that aspect when you're in the industry.
Uh-huh.
But then it's sometimes it just feels weird because like I don't want to name drop. It's not like, oh hey, you know, I was right. over at Stan Lee's house last night, and
you know Stan,
yeah, exactly. So
can you believe he got that couch?
Yeah. So
oh, you didn't see the couch? Oh well, that's it. So that's cool, man. You know, and you're going to have to deal with it a little bit more, you know, ideally. But that's, you know, that's the same as the cosplayer. You know, it's like, hey, you don't dress up and do this stuff if you don't want some attention. You know, so this is part of the deal that, you know, I know you're prepared for.
Yes.
What's cool about the particularly the people in costumes for these things, it's really fun to watch, is they get to be somebody.
Yeah.
For and it's just fun to see. It's fun to see Freddy Krueger down there last night, and everybody just gathering around, and him getting to be Freddy Krueger for a little while, and soaking it up, just enjoying it, you know.
I
get it.
I get it, and I actually think it's a beautiful thing. What I would love to see, though, really, is I would, because some of these cosplayers, man, they in the years ago when it really started becoming a big thing, they bothered me. I'm not gonna lie.
Uh-huh.
Because I was like, because the ad, you know, there's this sort of philosophy with a lot of people, like, well, cosplayers ain't got pockets. If they ain't got pockets, they ain't carrying money. They ain't carrying money. They ain't buying nothing, you know. but I've since gotten to know a lot of them. They're really cool, super creative people. And the thing is like, it would be nice. I have the utmost respect for people who are. You know, they're exploring their creativity, they're expressing their creativity,
mm-hmm.
they're getting attention for it. But a lot of times I'm just like, yo, you know, it would be really cool if, you know, like a cat dressed up like Freddy Krueger or someone dressed up like Spider-Man. It's uh-huh. like, I would like to see people doing stuff that's more creative, more original, and then getting that same level of attention.
Right.
You know, because it's like, okay, yeah, great, you're wearing a cool Spider-Man costume. But I most of the time, the cosplayers I take pictures of are people who are like, it's something really innovative, or they're doing something different. Like last year, there was, you know, some guy, it was a guy dressed up as, like, Wonder Woman, you know?
Right on.
Or you'll see a woman dressed up as, like, whatever, the, you know, I'm drawing a blank now. But I really am into, like, when people... gender swap and cosplay, or they'll do like a mishmash,
uh-huh.
you know. I really like that sort of stuff, But that's the thing. It's like, okay, yeah, you put together a great Batman costume. You deserve the attention. But it's like, it'd be cool if you could just put together your own thing. And, right. and if people would get as excited about your own thing. Because sometimes you see people, they're just like, they only want to take a picture of someone dressed up as Harley Quinn, you know?
Right, yeah,
and,
yeah.
But I'll tell you, yesterday I saw there was a woman dressed up as Inspector Gadget.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, but she was like sexy Inspector Gadget.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I felt bad because I was like, I have not ogled a woman's booty like that. Seriously.
Sexy Inspector Gadget.
In years. And I was like,
a magnifying glass?
Yeah. And part of me wanted to say, you don't need to objectify yourself this way. You don't need to sell uh-huh. your, you know, be this sexual about it. But then part of me was like, well, if I had a booty like that, I would probably
hey,
be,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying?
It's put, like, put a frame around it,
yeah,
with an
like,
arrow
arrows and flashing lights, yeah. and I'd be like, "Take a picture of my booty, yeah. Professor." Yeah. What's another word for pirate treasure?
Well, yeah, I think it's booty, booty. I listened to that Beastie Boys album just this spring, Cleaning Pools.
Yeah,
and just rediscovered, like, oh my god,
that's a great album. It's I listen to it pretty regularly when I'm out, like. Exercising when I'm going for like long walks.
So really. Do you ever now? You weren't in. You were never in Seattle, but you familiar with KEXP up in Seattle?
Yeah,
radio
yeah,
station.
Yeah, yeah.
So they did an entire like day
okay.
dedicated to Paul's Boutique.
Okay,
and broke it down and had yeah. all these different tracks. It was amazing.
Paul's Boutique, Check Your Head, and Ill Communication. Those three albums are amazing. Yeah, yeah.
Ah, oh, Beasties.
Yeah.
So, well, we should probably let you go, man. Probably you got stuff to do. How are we doing on time?
We're doing fine. I mean, okay. I'll take off in a little bit, but if you got anything else you want to
I do. Okay. I want to ask you about, of course.
Well, I'm not talking about that.
Yeah.
But you loaned me that itch cream, and I told you, don't ask me about what's
good.
Itching
I want while. Everybody to know that one time. You're here talking business on with a lot of folks and potentially really good stuff. Now, is that anything that you could talk about?
Well, I can tell you that in November, I've got a book coming out called Bitter Root.
Bitter Root.
It's me and another writer, a guy named Chuck Brown. He's out of South Carolina. And the artist is Sanford Green. Sanford and I worked together on Power Man and Iron Fist over at Marvel for about a year and a half. And this book's coming out through Image Comics, like I said, in November. And it's hot. It's a hot book. It's about a family of monster hunters. It takes place during the Harlem Renaissance. It's a black family. And they're dealing with the supernatural, but the supernatural I'll preface this by saying that even though what I'm about to say will sound very political or very heavy-handed, we're not treating it in a heavy-handed way, but the notion is that America was colonized, and as it was colonized, it was also possessed, and it was possessed by these demons that thrive on hate and intolerance, and that sort of the history of America is the history of this sort of demonic possession.
Interesting.
And this is a family. They're the descendants of ex-slaves,
mm-hmm.
and they have been fighting these demons for decades.
Okay.
And as the series progresses, we'll trace the family back to Africa, trace them back to Haiti during the Haitian Revolution.
And as their history, one of their family has always been like kind of demon hunters
yes.
or demon battlers.
Yes.
They fight the fight.
And
check out the squirrel behind your head there looking at that.
I wish I had my camera.
He's here. Let me see if I can get a quick picture. Oh, yeah, I moved too fast.
That's all right.
Oh.
As long as the squirrel doesn't piss on my head, I'm fine. So.
Oops. Sorry, I got it. Grabbed the phone and I saw a message from Francis at the Blarney Stone asking, hey, what about this date I asked you about? So I'm like, yes, we can do it. Like, I forgot to answer. So,
nothing wrong with that, man.
But Bitter Root. So that's the main, that's
Bitter
kind
Root,
of the main
yeah.
thing.
That's one of the big things, yeah.
yeah.
So and, that comes out in November.
And there's still like the number 13 is still something that still is kind of bouncing around? Or?
Yeah, number 13, which we did at Dark Horse. Robert Love and I did at Dark Horse several years ago. In fact, just yesterday, we had somebody walk up and point blank say, what's up with number 13? We want to make it as a TV show. And I was like, dope. I was like,
of course, it could be smoked.
They all say that, and to which I say, write the check, and when the check clears, then we will have the conversation. So,
I'm gonna. If I don't move fast, I think I can get this picture of this squirrel. Where is he at?
Yeah, I left my phone in the other room, so.
It's the fig season, and so the squirrels are all like, "Oh, this is heaven." So I got a picture of it. Cool. But cool, man. So we'll keep our eyes open for stuff. It always is something. You got something cool coming up, and people should follow you, follow you on Facebook.
Facebook. It's David Walker Writer, I believe. I have a fan page, which is better than just if you send me a friend request and I don't know you. At this point, I don't accept it. I'm sorry, you know. But then on Twitter, it's David Walker 1201, and then there's Instagram, which is MofoMan68, and Bitterroot has got a. We have a Twitter page, and we have everything for Bitterroot: Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and it's all Bitterroot something. It's like Bitterroot. I can't even remember it all now. It's like, after a while, it's like trying to remember all your PIN numbers.
Right, of course.
And all your passwords. It's like, you don't want to do the same one.
Or your middle name.
Yeah, right?
It's different for everybody, but...
You
know, excuse me. As also someone who's, like a lot of us, live a kind of a very public life, been very open about battling depression in the last few years, which, you know, as one of, you know, my best friends, you know, of course I'm always concerned with and want to support, but I think that we've talked about it, and you've expressed that a lot of folks have really appreciated your openness about it, and that it's something a lot of people deal with.
And so, you know, it's not like some people think I talk about it because I want the attention. It's like, no one wants to attention for something like that, but the reality is like I get that how much I don't want to talk about it, and if other people feel the same way and they don't want to talk about it, they don't talk about it, you're not going to get the help that you need,
right?
And so part of the reason I talk about it is to let other people know, hey, you're not alone, and you need help, you got to try to get that help.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, no, there is nothing wrong with it. It's a terrible thing to have, but it doesn't make you a terrible person for having it. You know what I'm saying? So, it's different than the body funk, where it's like
you can do something about it.
You can do something about it. Some soap, some water, and little deodorant.
You need a little Axe spray for the brain.
If they if they made something that was that simple,
we'd all be smelling like it.
Yeah, we'd all be much better off. Much better off.
Cool. Well, man, it's great to have you as always, man.
Yeah, it's good to be here, man. I love you, always. Man. I love you too, man. So, brother.
Right on.
All right.
Thanks, Dave.
Yep. Peace.
Sweet, man. That was a good interview.
Nicely done.
It was sweet.
Yeah.
We said we love you at the end of it.
Love me?
Yeah, because I do love you.
That you love each other.
I do love you. Yeah.
Like friend love.
I do love you. You know, Joel Manby is gone from SeaWorld.
Sure.
But he had a book that he put out, and something had something to do with love. And, like, whatever you do it with love.
Nice.
And, like, it was seriously a super good message that, like, I've been trying to, like, embrace in my life. And even at work that I'm saying, I love you. Anyway, I told, you know, as you heard, just heard, I told Dave that I love him.
Oh, nice. That's cool, man. So, it's bitchin'.
Yeah.
I dig it.
Great.
But yeah, thanks out there for listening, liking, subscribing, and checking out us on our social media at Life's Binge, and check out the Patreon, patreon.com/Life's Binge. But for this week, our third year anniversary episode.
Here we go.
We're going to get a lot more stuff going on. I mean, we already got new team members and stuff's happening. We're working on video still. It's coming, I swear. Yeah. Even if it's not live, we're going to start doing them and putting out video podcasts so you guys can check those out.
For sure.
But there's bonus stuff along with BJ on the
Instagram.
Street. Coming out from Comic-Con as well. We're doing those interviews. All sorts of stuff going out. But anyway, thanks for listening. This has been Life's Binge. I'm Jared.
And I'm BJ.
And I'm Rich.
And we'll see you on the couch.
Bye, y'all.
Life's a binge.
Right?
Okay. This has been a Life's a Binge production. Be sure and leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever else you find the show. You can find us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. Join the phone army by dialing 619-438-0532. And if all else fails, check out our website at lifesabinge.com. Thanks for listening, and as always, we'll see you on the couch.
What could I do? Okay, all right.
Where did you find that?
I find it on YouTube. I find all the goods, man.
That's crazy. That's kind of cool. It sounds
not
like it's like
for kids anymore.
It sounds like it's from 1974.
It's like, but no, it's like 1993.
I was gonna say, but it's clearly
he's like watching. It's like the first. Hold on, I'll tell you.